It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation and engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland. The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
Actually, David Holland here. I'm going to give Scott the show off today. So I'll show off. Very funny. All right, let me get to it. I've got a lot to share with you today. First, let's get a quick look at the numbers for the market for Friday. Dow off about 19 points. Not a big deal. That's less than 0.25%. So unless we see a 50-point move or so, not much going on. And so a little bit quiet for Friday. NASDAQ off just 3. Again, that's less than 0.1%. S&P up smidgen. Nothing much to talk about there. The euro gained. 10-year. The 10-year treasury has been talking about the 10-year treasuries here for the last week or so. And if you caught our show earlier, you know that Scott and I have been focusing on that 10-year treasury. It bumped up again 0.75% to close it, where the 10-year treasury is yielding 2.3%. And it wasn't long ago that it was about 0.5% less. So that's a significant change. That is going to start to, we're going to start seeing an effect, because as the yields go up, that 2.3 goes to 2.4, 2.5. That causes treasury bonds to go down, and it has the same effect, a dampening effect on all of the various types of bonds. All bonds, every bond that I know of, is affected by the price of 10-year treasuries, because it's whenever a bond is issued by a corporation or a municipality or a foreign government, it's always the yield or what it's going to earn is going to be what they are going to have to pay in interest. It's always the interest is always set and offered, or what their actual rate is based on how much risk that bond represents compared to good old USA debt. 10-year treasuries are the benchmark for pretty much everything, and also for mortgages. Gold down just a little, pretty much flat, closing at 1658, almost 1659, and oil up $2 a barrel to 107, so up about 2%. Now, I read an article the other day, and they were talking about how we're only a handshake away from oil dropping $20 a barrel. And that's true. There's a lot of risk premium built into the price of oil right now. And if there is all of a sudden a big powwow that goes on and everybody settles down over the standoff with Iran about their alleged, suspected nuclear program, that if that gets all squared away, then we could see a pretty significant drop in oil prices, which of course would be very welcome for the largest consumer of oil in the world, being the United States. So those are some of the headlines for what's going on for Friday. And I've got a huge stack of stuff here to talk about. In fact, let me before we take our first break, and they are brief and infrequent, but before I do that, let me give you a number that really jumped off the page. Ready for this? Everybody says that inflation is not an issue yet. Well, some data is coming out from the Labor Department, and this is from, I've got this one from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Consumer Price Index. We talked on a previous show here recently about the producer price index being up almost 5%. And that's the cost of stuff going into the manufacturing of goods being up almost 5%. Well, we're seeing the same thing now for consumer prices. So it's going to trickle through. For February, the seasonally adjusted, that means they try to take out the seasonal fluctuations, was up, inflation was up 0.4%. So that's 0.5%. Now, that's just 1 month, 0.4. You say, well, that's not a big deal. It's 0.5%, David, not a big deal. But do the math, multiply by 12, just under 5%. So that means if the what we saw in February continues, we could see inflation stack up pretty heavily. And if we look at the last 12 months, inflation, 2.9% before they made the seasonal adjustment. So inflation is not dead. It's going to come back. We're seeing this translated into with gas prices and other things that are going to affect it. So why does this matter to you? Well, it matters to me when I'm doing planning for clients that we make sure that we've factored in inflation. And the gasoline is a lot of it. I realize that factory output is also up. So there's just more demand for various things that we produce or that we sell. So be on the lookout for inflation and make sure you're factoring that into your plans. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break. And when I come back, let me tell you about the latest scam that's out there. Keep you in the know about what's happening. Stay tuned.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
Okay, we're back. And let me tell you, let me break it down for you. I'll get to the scam thing in just a second. Let me break this down for you. This was funny. This made me laugh. I of course, subscribe to the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, my local Daytona Beach News Journal, great paper. And I read all this stuff. I get up early before the rooster starts crowing. I'm up reading the paper, and this one got me laughing. USA Today had an article talking, ready for this, how to evaluate risk before investing. Statistical measures can help, such as standard deviation, beta, and alpha. What is that? What is that? Alpha, beta, standard deviation. Thank God Scott's not here to talk about Chartino ratios. He's got a fancy one he uses. There's the Ulcer index. You know what? So I read the article, and they basically talk about what these different measures are. But you know what? Leave it to the professionals. When I read these articles, I go, you know what? Don't spend your time trying to understand what alpha, beta, Sharpe ratio, all these things. That's what financial advisors that know what they're doing know what those things are. You're not supposed to know all that. I think that would be like me wanting to understand before I had surgery. And I had surgery back in 2005. Had some neck surgery, so I've been there, done that. They had to screw my head on straight, okay? So I had to have some disc surgery. So before I had that surgery, I didn't stop and say, well, you know, I need to know how to watch the dials and all the different chemicals for anesthesia. Or I didn't ask the doctor, okay, let's go through and talk about the tensile strength of your scalpel you're going to use. That's not what I'm supposed to do. What I did was I did a search and found I had my doctor give me the recommendation of someone he thought I should have surgery with, and then I found some others on my own, and I had the doctor, my family doctor, I instructed him to send my medical stuff to each of these doctors so I could meet with them and get the opinion I wanted. So I was interviewing them. I wasn't asking them about their scalpels or about the type of anesthesia they're going to use. And that's a good analogy for, you know, you being the investor expected to know what a beta is and an alpha and what's the standard deviation. And yes, you do need to know what kind of risk you're taking with your investing. That's really important. You need to communicate to anybody that's going to advise you about your finances, and hopefully they have experience, education, and credentials, and they're in a position to advise you independent of somebody telling them what to do, where to sit, how many phone calls to make. But your job is to tell them what you're looking for, and most competent advisors that run their business well and who are going to be in it for the long haul and who have clients first, they're going to quiz you pretty good. They're going to have a questionnaire. And so it's your job to be honest and tell them what you're looking for. That's as far as you need to go. That's as far as you need to go with understanding how those things work. And they'll explain how it needs to be for you. Now, let me talk about a couple other things that are on my stack of stuff here. I feel like Rush Limbaugh, without making the stupid comments that get me in trouble here. Let me see. All right, my stack of stuff. Here's a good one. I've got a couple of these. Let me talk about North Korea and Iran, which are the two current troublemakers that we see. North Korea, they're going to blast off a satellite into space on the back of a long-range rocket. But hey, we've got an agreement where we won't do any more stuff, and we want food aid. So we've been down this path many times with North Korea, where we beg them not to develop nuclear weapons. We ask them not to develop long-term ballistic capabilities for their missiles to be able to shoot their potential nuclear warheads. It's suspected that they've got enough uranium or plutonium, some of that nasty stuff, enough to make 6 to 8 warheads. But do we really know for sure? And so the concern is if they develop the technology, they could send that to hit one of our friends. We've got friends in the region. South Korea's a friend. Japan's a friend. We have friends that we don't want to be affected. We've got pretty strong relationships with these folks. And so what affects them affects us. We do a lot of trade with Japan and South Korea. Those are two big countries in terms of the total GDP that they have and the amount of economic transactions they have with other countries, including us. And they're important to the world's economy. So we don't want to see them get hurt. So how long are we going to play footsie with North Korea? Just don't give them anything and stop playing the game. That's my opinion. All right, over to Iran. Speaking of playing footsie, we've got both feet under the table, no socks on. It's full on footsie with these guys. They are running out of options, thankfully. They have been swift boated. Their ability to use this centralized swift economic transfer network thing to transfer and do a lot of transactions, we need to let our economic sanctions continue, and hopefully that'll start putting more pressure on them and not take any options off the table. So that's kind of where those things are. Let me see what else. Oh, here's another really good one that I wanted to talk about. I've just got such a stack here. I want to make sure I get to all of it. Okay, USA Today also had an article, which I thought was interesting. Here's the lead article says, many investors rely on brokers and financial advisors for advice, but a lot of times they don't tell you about some things. And one of the main things they wanted to talk about, and if you hear that rumbling, it's still bike week in Daytona. That's not my stomach or anything. That's just bike week. All right. Indexing. Indexing is something that a lot of advisors, independent investment advisors, look at for their client portfolios. And the thought is that you can't outwit the market, and that you should index means you should invest your money directly into the stock market and not have somebody really picking the stocks. Just say, I'm going to buy the S&P 500 index, meaning I'm going to put my money into all 500 stocks without somebody picking which stocks they think is going to do the best. That's active management. That's what we've got. 26,000 mutual funds, ladies and gentlemen. So a lot of those funds are saying, we think we can pick stocks to reduce your risk and to make more money. That's the whole point. For the given level of risk that you say you want, I'm this kind of investor and I want this kind of fund, then there is a flavor of mutual fund for you where they will try to manage that and give you what you need. Well, an index fund takes away the stock selection once you say, okay, well, put my money into the S&P 500, put my money into a broad market index, put my money in just the technology stocks. Once that decision has been made, there's no manager making those calls. So part of the thinking with index investing, and there's something like $2.3 trillion that is in these types of exchange-traded passive funds, that's a big number, that you avoid the mistake of the advisor. Remember, I talked about alpha. Okay, alpha is that's the technical term for basically the manager's contribution. That's the value of their advice or their ability to pick the stock inside that mutual fund. Now, there are times when index funds outperform most of the mutual funds. So the other thing is index funds can be tax efficient. You're not actively trading. A lot of mutual funds turn within 12 months, sell everything in the portfolio and buy all new stuff. Well, that's very inefficient for taxes. And if you have that kind of mutual fund, you want to make sure it's over in an IRA, not in a regular account where you're going to have a lot of taxes on that if it makes money. And these are the kinds of things to be aware of. So what do you take away from my comment? Well, let me tell you what you take away. You take away that indexing either with mutual funds or maybe indexing your returns with an annuity, it's not a bad strategy at all. In fact, it can be very helpful because it's efficient and it links you to the market. But there are some caveats, and I wouldn't do it with all my money. It's good as part of an overall portfolio, and we like to do that with my company for certain parts of the overall strategy we develop for our clients. So indexing, it's something you can consider. And if you're not looking at that or that's not part of your current portfolio, you may want to look at that. And if your advisor is not offering that or very quickly debunks or dismisses that idea, then you may not have the right advisor because it is a very common strategy used by investment advisors. Okay, Lisa's giving me the high sign for another quick break. We'll be right back. Stick around.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on WESH Channel 2. What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
This is your 2-minute warning.
Yes, it is. I'll give you more than 2 minutes. How's that sound? Listen to this. Here's a quick list or a rundown on the latest scams that are out there. I got it. Let me just say this. There are every day good work done by good advisors. There are plenty of people that you can trust with your money. I want to make sure that I don't beat a drum that you say, I can't trust anybody. And that's not true. There are a lot of good people that care about helping their people with their money, that spend their entire careers, decades, helping people with their money, and they love to do it. I'm one of them, okay? 2 decades of being in the financial services industry, and I love doing it. I love helping people, and I'm not going to cheat anybody. I'm going to do a good job for them. But you know what? There are folks out there that, well, they don't play by the rules. And one of the latest scams that the cyber crooks have concocted, and I've mentioned this before when I've warned you about people calling you at home wanting something from you. I need to verify this information. We want a donation. We want this. We want that. The latest gimmick, and I've been waiting on it, is now they're spoofing and fudging or creating fake caller IDs. And it's especially a problem on people's cell phones. They're starting to call your cell phone nouns, believe it or not. I think that's criminal. I mean, come on. So what they do is they have a way of changing the code. It's like being in the Matrix or something. They change the code for the delivery of that caller ID. And it might say Bank of America or Charles Schwab or American Express. When it's, you know, John Bad Boy he's in another country or he's in another state or he's next door. So if they fudge that, and they say, I'm calling from Bank of America. I'd like to verify some of your information. Here's what, I tell you what, you get any call, say, thank you, but for my security, I'm going to call you back. Okay? Hang up and find the number on your credit card. Find the number of American Express's website or Bank of America's website, or you initiate the call. Do not call back with a number that they give you. And I've done this when there was a question. I had a fraud alert on my account. They saw something that was unusual I don't even remember what it was. It wasn't really unusual. They just had a question. And I said, okay, well, I appreciate the phone call. I'm not going to talk to you because I don't know where you're calling from, and I'm going to call you back. And so I went, turned my card over, and I called back. So they're getting smarter, unfortunately. So you've got to be smarter, and you've got to be more careful. All right. Now, Investment News is a publication I get. One more that David has to read, and it talks a lot about what's going on with investment advisors. It kind of keeps investment advisors, especially independent advisors, up to speed on what's going on in the world of finance. And a couple of things, BrokerCheck. Do you know what BrokerCheck is? You can go to FINRA.org, which is the financial regulatory organization that oversees broker-dealers and brokers. Some 600,000 brokers are registered through FINRA.org, and you can go in and find BrokerCheck, and you can find a lot of good information. You can find out if they've been behaving badly. You can find out what credentials they have. You can find out a lot of good information before you decide to do business. For example, XLPL, Linsco Private Ledger, XLPL rep gets long spell in prison. Here's an article right from Investment News. And a former LPL financial broker was sentenced Tuesday to more than 3 years in prison in order to pay $1.8 million in client restitution. So that would be an example of something you could see if there was somebody who had been convicted or had done something really bad or had a big fine. Sometimes brokers and advisors can be fined for bad behavior and still be working as a broker. So BrokerCheck under FINRA.org. And here's another one. Let me see here. Okay, New York Advisor. I'm sorry. This is just out there. Again, most advisors and brokers and people in the financial business, financial planners, they're good people. But there are a few bad apples. New York Advisor bilked investors, bought a beach house, SEC, Securities Exchange Commission, not Southeastern Conference for football. Securities Exchange Commission is the regulatory, they're the big boys. And they charged this gentleman with defrauding 24 investors with 5 offshore funds. Remember, I've warned you about going overseas or messing with any of that stuff. Stay away from it. And he took people's money. So it's out there, regrettably. And I'm going to warn you about it when I see it. But just the 3 safe places, insurance companies, brokerage firms, banks, you're pretty safe. And just make sure you do a background check on whoever it is you're working with. Better Business Bureau, that's another good one to look at. Go to the Better Business Bureau and check out the advisor or the firm. My firm is listed on Better Business Bureau, and we know that that's out there and that people can look at it, and that's good. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. Thank you, Lisa. And I'm going to come back and talk to you about the 8 money pitfalls for retirees. Stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
The following top secret message is ready for declassification.
Okay, we're back. Hey, you heard about the annuity booklet I just mentioned. That's pretty cool. That's an excerpt from my book, and it just takes and explains how annuities work and the different types. And the 8 potential money pitfalls for retirees from Main Street, the gentleman that wrote that, what's his name? I got to look. I'm not sure if it's a man or woman. Carrie with an I, is that a woman? Probably a woman. You never know. It's hard to tell these days. Carrie Fivecoat Campbell. That's probably a woman. Anyway, she had an article she wrote, and it got on Yahoo Finance. And I agree with some of it. Some of it I don't. But some of the different money pitfalls she wrote about, and I looked at this and said, yeah, I agree with a lot of these. She mentioned annuities. Now, I think that the wrong annuity can be a real mess for somebody, but the right one can be a godsend. It can really save your retirement. I've done plans for people where the annuity really is what saves them, especially longer term, to have the income they need. But if you don't know what you're getting into, there are some annuities, which is why it's a pitfall, that are very high in fees. I had a lady one time come in and meet with me, said, look at what I'm doing. Tell me if I'm on the right track. She had an annuity and she was paying, and I'll always, it's one of those things you remember the rest of your life. She was paying 3.8% per year on her annuity and had no idea. Now, that could just as easily been an investment account, but it was an annuity. It was a variable annuity. I personally don't recommend variable annuities. I don't know that they are the right approach for retirees, but other advisors may disagree. Now, other potential pitfalls, credit cards, of course, you've got to be careful when you're in retirement. If you finance your lifestyle in retirement with credit cards, well, someday you got to pay it off. Long-term care, that's a huge benefit, the long-term care insurance for people. And I just had this conversation yesterday with a couple. Isn't it convenient that I talk to people every day about their money and I get to share it with you guys on the radio? Just met with them and I explained to them the long-term care insurance is not for the person who needs the care. It's for the survivor whose assets hopefully will not be depleted caring for the person, so they've got money left over so that they can live when you're in a facility or need some form of care. Reverse mortgages, that can be a great way for somebody who's over 62 to tap into the equity in their home. It can be a very helpful thing, but you need to be careful. I actually don't recommend reverse mortgages for people that have more significant assets. It's really a fallback position. Again, other advisors may disagree with me on that, but I don't like to go to that first. Let it be something that later you look at, because it is a loan. No matter what, how well it's presented on the video or TV or in the booklet, it's a loan. Life insurance can be a good thing to be on the lookout for as part of your retirement pitfalls. I've had people say, well, I got to keep paying for it. I've got it. Well, there comes a point where you may not need it anymore, and you can take the cash value and turn that into a stream of income, turn it into an annuity, or you can do something else with it. And you can also just say, well, maybe I don't need it at all and just save the money. But some people do need the life insurance for survivorship planning. Very often when I'm doing planning for couples, I may recommend, you know what, you really do need to keep that life insurance. Don't let that go away, because you've got a huge hole because the pension goes away, Social Security goes away. There are some significant issues. Next up, phone scams. Well, we talked about that. And shady salespeople, we talked about that. So that's most of these things that happen. But just, you know what? You've got to guard your money and you've got to look out for it, because we live in a world today where there are people, there are lions that lie by the water hole. When we go down to drink our water, minding our own business, we're the little zebra trotting down to get our water from the water hole, and there is a lion over in the grass just waiting to consume us if we're not paying attention. So be on the lookout. And one last thing that I thought you would find interesting for today. While I have talked with you on today's show, the United States national debt has grown by $60 million in the 30 minutes of our radio program. So usdebtclock.org is a beautiful website. When I say beautiful, a lot of good information, but it will make you sick. So there we are. Is that all the time we got today, Lisa? All right. Lisa says that's it. So we're out for today. Look forward for your listening to this fantastic program another day. Thanks for being with me.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.